Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
I'm thinking of Bob Uecker's Harry Doyle in Major League. One hit, one gosh darn hit, 2 points, two gosh darn points edition. We need to play this clip from Matt LaFleur because I think he got his emotions going. And I think he forgot that he didn't play any of his best players edition. And has Brian Bulaga ever been part of such a low-scoring game offensively where the defense outscores the offense? Maybe in a soccer game edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And the streak is over again. What did we get to, Jesse? 4 days?
Four lastly. Yeah, Tuesday through Friday, all three of us were here. So back to zero. It's like the old trivia, how many days without a trivia incident. The new thing is how many days that we're all here.
Well, luckily for us, we have one of the goats of Cousin Subs of the Day. I don't know why he continues to sign up for this, but we're glad he does. He took over for Tausch at right tackle. He'll take over for him today, and someday he'll join Tausch in the Packers Hall of Fame. It is our famous friend. It is Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How we doing?
I'm great. But Matt LaFleur is not. The Packers lose their second preseason game by the... I have to think this is a scoregami, Jesse.
No, it actually isn't.
Really?
Believe it or not. So, first of all, preseason games do not count in the scoregami standings. So, just so we're all on the same page there.
Thank you for clarifying.
But yes, I actually saw Alex Strofe, host of Mr. Irrelevant, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. He shared last night that there was a 27-2 game, I think in 1957. Was the other time that it happened. So it is
27-2. 27-2. Brian, your thoughts.
It wasn't a great watch. And I think that's being very kind about it. Obviously you said it to open this whole thing. 31 guys were not playing, right? Like every single starter was on the sideline in streetwear, so to speak, or casual wear, whatever they wear.
Apparently they had to wear their jerseys, which is even weirder, by the way.
It's a little LaFleur's going a little high school with that. Got to wear your sideline or your jersey on the sideline. But you have to look. Like, I watched the game and I took it all with a grain of salt. Yeah, did you want to see backup guys that get a big opportunity to potentially show out a little bit? Especially, you knew Denver was going to play their ones. They're trying to decide a quarterback they're going to go with. So, yeah, I wanted to see if somebody would step up and kind of show something. And both sides of the ball, they're just – there was nothing really to stand up off your seat and go, this is great. This guy's really showing himself. Like, there was just nothing. I literally was watching it right before – like, for the last half hour, I was watching it back one more time because I went to bed, like, towards the middle of the third quarter. I'm like, I can't watch this anymore. And I was actually watching it back from the start again, just to make sure that I wasn't like delirious last night when I was watching. The game started at 8 here. So like, I was like, all right, let me double check, make sure I wasn't overblowing this. And I wasn't. I think the tone kind of set, because I was on Packers Twitter the day of the joint practice, and it was not good.
No.
Right? Like, I think we can get into that a little bit later. Mm-hmm. But Packers Twitter was not very positive about this joint practice, and LaFleur kind of said that after the joint practice, and it looked like it carried right into the game as well. So, wasn't a great trip out to Denver for Green Bay the last few days, is what it appears, and the game kind of shows that as well.
All right, so Jesse, I want you, you played a clip in, and we'll get to positives and negatives. The positives list will be a little slightly shorter than usual. Maybe we can find one or two, though. And the negatives list will be long. But I want to start with what Matt LaFleur said last night, because when I heard him say this, I was like, oh, wait a minute now. You can't possibly be surprised that this went as poorly as it did. Maybe you weren't expecting it to go this poorly, but you played, so 31 guys didn't play. I would say 6 of them would qualify as not playing due to injury, and 25
yep.
were healthy scratches. I mean, Jordan Morgan, for example, would he have played? I'm not sure. I wasn't in Denver, so I don't know if he did much or any 11-on-11 during the practice with the Broncos on Friday, coming back from the shoulder injury.
Okay.
Would Tucker Kraft have done 11-on-11 in the practice? I think so, but would he have played? Maybe they wouldn't have. So, still, 25 guys. I mean, you're 4 top wide receivers. Your starting quarterback, your 2 top tight ends, your entire starting offensive line. It appeared to me that the only starters that actually started were Javon Bullard at safety, and he was more of a nickel guy anyway because Keyshawn Nixon didn't play, and Eric mm-hmm. Wilson, who I would assume they're hoping, no offense to Eric, but they're hoping they will replace sometime during the season with either Tyron Hopper or Edgerrin Cooper, their draft picks. And so when you do that, you have to know that when the other team is playing its starters for multiple series, you're probably going to encounter some troubles. But Matt LaFleur actually questioned his players' effort and grit after the game. Here it is from Packers.com.
You got to check yourself. Every play, are you given your max effort? Are you straining the way that we want you to strain? Is the style of play what we want to see? So I think it'll be a good opportunity for all of us to kind of evaluate and see the guys that really want to put it all out there, for not only for themselves but for the team.
So Brian, look, I he was, there was another clip in there too that I, because I watched him on the streaming after the game, where he basically questioned, too, whether they responded after getting their butts kicked in the joint practice. Like, he acknowledged that they got waxed in the joint practice. But when you hear him say that, I'm sorry, I have a hard time believing that guys that are trying to keep their NFL dream alive, that are trying to make the roster, aren't playing with effort. And when I know you didn't get to the, you went to bed in the third quarter, which I wish I could have done, but I find it very hard to believe that the guys that are trying to make this roster weren't trying and weren't playing with effort. Do you think that that is the sound of a coach more likely pissed off that they didn't perform well in the joint practice and then got their butts kicked in the game? Questioning his player's effort was a surprise to me.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. I don't think guys, like you said, that are fighting for their NFL careers or, you know, even to get on a practice squad potentially, right? Like, guys that are trying to survive in this league are going to give subpar effort. Like, I don't know if I'm totally there, but I think this is a case of it boiling over from joint practice. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he was really upset with the way the team performed. And then he saw more of that in the game, which, listen, the NFL, yes, there's a lot of parity in the NFL, right? Like, teams are closer now than they've ever been. Yeah, there's some outliers, but, like, teams are close. Mm-hmm. So when you decide that you're not going to play a single starter and a team plays all their starters, your twos are not going to be able to keep up because it's just – the way the NFL is. Like, there's not enough good players. All the good players are starting. Like, I just like, and that's mm-hmm. really cut and dry. The good players are your starters, and then the reserves behind them are guys that you may need in a pinch that can fill in for a couple series, maybe to finish off a game. They're not the guys you're gonna put out there to win a game or be highly competitive in a game. So that's why that game went the way it did. And it's not taken away from the, like, saying that we have terrible backups, they don't belong. Like, that's not what it is. It's just when you don't have any of your studs out there to cover up some of the guys that have weaknesses that aren't high level performers like your starters are, it makes it, you know, you see the performance that you did. So I think this is more him being a little hot over what happened in the joint practice. And then the way, like you said, kind of getting whooped up on in the game. And it just he I think he was sending a message to the entire team, mm-hmm. not just the guys that played, but that was a message to everybody that we're going to evaluate that tape from, you know, joint practice game. And we're going to see the guys that want to be out here. And it's okay. Like, it's not a panic mode or anything like that, but it's certainly – like I said last week with Homer, like, this is a way you gauge where your team's at in these joint practices. And there's no way that he's happy with the way that joint practice was, with how he's gauging his team and where they are at in camp. So I would expect a little more intensity this mm-hmm. week throughout practice as this next joint practice approaches with Baltimore. Because, well, by all means, I'm not saying Denver's not going to be a playoff team, but we know Baltimore's definitely going to be a playoff team. Mm-hmm. And you want your team to get up for a team like Baltimore, that these are playoff teams. Like, they're coming to joint practice. Baltimore's not coming to, you know, shake hands and talk about how your camp's been. They're coming here to do a job, especially with Harbaugh and the way he runs his operation. Like, these guys got to be ready. So this week of practice, I would imagine, is going to be intense leading up to this joint practice with Baltimore.
All right, so I want to get to positives and negatives, and I definitely want to talk about what the messaging is here, because that, I think you're nailed that. That's one of the drawbacks of you and I doing shows together, is we agree a lot of the time. But let's say Matt LaFleur decides, I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to touch this. Okay? And I'm gonna go. Yep. I'm gonna go to Machu Picchu, and then I'm gonna go to France, and then I'm gonna go to Rome and Italy, and I'm gonna be gone for a while. And I have decided that Brian Bulaga is going to be our head coach for the preseason. Okay, so you've been appointed mm-hmm. interim Packers head coach. If you had to decide how to approach the preseason with your starters, Coach Bulaga. I mean, I know you're coaching teams that reach the national championship in flag football, and you're coaching soccer teams. So you are an accomplished coach. You know what you're doing.
Oh yeah. Oh,
but
we put you
in charge of the Packers for their three preseason games. How are you playing your top line players. Because, again, and I understand that you can't live this way in the NFL, but having been in Pittsburgh for Jordy tearing his ACL, I am Ted Thompson Jr. I am bubble wrap these guys. Let's get to the season when it counts. And if we start a little sluggishly, we'll make up for it by playing well down the stretch. I am not losing one of my best players to a torn ACL in a game that doesn't count in the standings. I hope I don't lose any of them to injury, but I definitely don't want to lose them in a game that doesn't count. So I don't give a damn if we get run out of the gym by the Denver Broncos. But Matt LaFleur clearly did. So now, Coach Bulaga, you got three preseason games. How are you deploying your starters?
Yeah, I mean, I think what he did in preseason one was good, right? A series. And that's fine. Your team does well. Your starters do well. They go down the field, score. They hold, you know, Cleveland, what was it, a field goal? Or is it, mm-hmm. I don't even know what it was. I've forgotten. That's how irrelevant that game even was, because you were going against that team's twos, right?
Right.
You go into the second week, and you know you got a joint practice with Denver, which, by all means, you want to treat that as essentially the preseason game, and you want to see how your team is. Now, prior to that, I probably would not have said to my team, I probably not would have said it to the media, that they're not playing. Right? The minute you tell it any team, whether it's a veteran or a young team, you're not going in this game as early as he did, there's a potential lack of focus then going on this business trip. Because that's what it is. It's a business trip, whether mm-hmm. it's preseason or regular season. It's always a business trip. So I would have probably held off on telling the team, or the starters at least, like, I mean, I guess there's some veteran guy, there's some veteran guys that understand how to operate, right? Like, there's guys that have been there, they've done it, they've been around other guys, like, you know, like Kenny and guys like, okay, Preston, like, these guys have been doing it for a long time. They understand, they're professionals. But if you look on the offensive side of the ball, we're very young, extremely young. Mm-hmm. And when you tell these guys so early on, hey, you're not doing anything in Denver. We got to practice, and then you're done. There's a potential loss of focus, and clearly, that's what we saw, or I didn't see it, but has been reported, and LaFleur even said it, that there was not enough effort and focus in that joint practice.
Correct.
And then the minute you see that, because you have not announced is anyone playing the preseason game, I would have said to the starters, well, since we didn't get our work in there, we're going out to take another series in this Denver game. Like, you guys are going out there. Because at that point in time, you would imagine that you've already talked to Sean Payton. Sean Payton has already said, yeah, I'm going to send out my ones for at least two series. So you know, offensively and defensively, you're going to go against their goods for one more series at least, you know, or at whatever you decide. And that's how I would have approached that. Now, this last game, not a chance. Not going out there in the preseason game, but we got the joint practice, and we're going to try to maximize that practice against Baltimore as good as we can. But there'd be no way that I would send them out in preseason three. I mean,
okay.
Again, LaFleur may be thinking this back. Like, he may be thinking the opposite of I am. Right? He may be thinking I'm not putting them out in two. But if this trend continues with them in the joint practice, and they don't play well in that, I'm sending them out there for a series in Baltimore. Like, they're going to play in Lambeau. Like, he could be thinking about it the other way, but that's kind of the way I would have approached it. And we'll see what he does. But I don't know if I remember when we were playing and we did the joint practice with Houston. We had a good idea. We were probably not going to play in that preseason game, but he didn't tell us anything, I think, until the night before we were told, hey, you're not going to play. When we played out in Baltimore, we found out that morning that we are playing. We are taking at least mm-hmm. a quarter of snaps. You get kept on your toes. And I know when it was McCarthy and Campy, we didn't find out till probably, like I said, the night of or the day of, like, hey, you're not taking any snaps or you are taking snaps. So, like, they made us feel like we always had to be ready and prepared and treat this thing like we're going to play. And maybe that was something Mac could learn from. I don't know what the mentality of the team is. Clearly, he didn't like it in the joint practice, but maybe learning that you can't give these guys such a notice so far in ahead that they're not playing, that potentially they go on this trip and they lose a little focus in the actual joint practice where you wanted to get the bulk of your work. So that would probably be the way that I would approach it. But this last week, they got to get their work in against Baltimore in this joint practice, because I wouldn't send them out on the field. You know, like you said, there's a point to where you got to start thinking long term, and this last preseason game is not the game to throw these guys out there when you're going to Brazil and how many days from that point to get ready to play your opener. You just don't even want to risk it at that point. So I think the time for playing these guys in the preseason games ended in Denver. Like, that was the end of it. And now they got to get their work in this week and against Baltimore in the practices.
All right. So I want to discuss this a little more before we get into positives and negatives, because my struggle with this is, if your argument is that your team is better prepared for the first game that counts because they play in the preseason, he basically played his guys throughout the entire preseason last year. And now he's got this dilemma on his hands where he was displeased to the point of what felt like to me an overreaction emotionally to a predictable result. Maybe not as terrible as we saw, but there was a good chance that they were going to lose and they were going to struggle when you decided to do what you decided to do. My issue is, and this is what I want to get into next, if you believe, it feels like you can't do a half measure here. If you come out and say that you believe having your guys play in preseason leads to better performance in the opener, you can't have your offense play three snaps on August 10th and then not play in another game until you're in Brazil on September 6th. I don't think those three snaps carry all the way almost an entire month before you get to Brazil. So I want to talk a little bit more about what's coming up this week. I also want to understand, if you're willing to take on the risk, then how do you go about, when do you take the risk? Because either you're taking the risk or you're not, right? And on top of that, I just looked it up. You're right about 2019. There were games where Mike McCarthy, from my recollection, didn't tell you guys that you weren't playing until you got done with warm-ups. Like, he would send you guys out there to prepare as if you were playing, and then, oh, by the way, you guys are out tonight. So
that's correct.
I think that would make more sense. We'll get into that a little bit more. Brian Bulaga is our cousin sub of the day. I just don't understand this. And now you've put yourself in a position where, do you really want to go into the regular season with them not having played and you being pissed off at them in Denver and then not playing them in Baltimore, no matter how this joint practice goes on Thursday? We'll talk more about that coming up. Then we'll get to your positives and negatives. If you want to text in yours, you can do that now, and then we'll take calls later. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Dissecting the Green Bay Packers 27-2 loss in Denver. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
I say go, baby, go, go, go.
Our guys can come out with more strain, effort, grit after kind of getting humbled the other day in practice, and then to have it happen again, not where we want to be. And I think it's a good lesson for our guys in terms of, it doesn't matter who's out there. If you don't put your best foot forward each and every time you go out on that field, these things happen to you. So, you know, we're going to have to regroup, take a long, hard look in the mirror, and we got to get better, and we need that urgency from everybody.
That is Matt LaFleur. All right, so that's a separate quote from the first one we played, Brian. And now he's talking about how they got humbled on the practice field, and then it happened again in the game. So does that solidify our position that he's more pissed at how poorly things went in both instances? I just, again, I have a hard time believing that, you know, Kalen King, who's trying to make this team, isn't trying. Like, I just don't, I don't see that. I see that as a frustrated coach.
Yeah. He's mad about practice. That's what he's upset about. Like, it, if joint practice would have went really well for him, right, offensively and defensively, if it would have went really well, no matter, yeah, okay, he, if this game still played out the exact same way, same exact score, 27-2, right, but the joint practice went well, there's a different, probably, attitude with him at the podium. Yeah, he's going to say, like, we need to, you know, perform better, you know, we're going to review this tape and take a good, like, that's all fine. But it would have been a little bit of a different, you know, feel to the press conference than it was, because they got blown out in joint practice too. So all those two things combined, you get these types of reactions and sound clips from him. And I understand, like, you go on this trip and you tell your starters you're not playing the game, but we need you to get your work in the joint practice, and then it doesn't go well at all. And then in the back of your mind as a coach, you're thinking, did I make the right decision telling these guys this, and now they're not even playing this game when they technically didn't do what they needed to do the other day? Like, did I make, like, you start to question yourself a little bit. And LaFleur, from my experience with him and, you know, talking to him and knowing him and even being back with him last year during that few days I was there with the team, like, he's very sure of himself. Like, he's got a good plan. He knows what he feels the team needs week in and week out and practice to practice. Like, he's got a good pulse on the team and kind of what's been going on, right? And I think when these types of things happen, it makes you kind of think, man, was this the right approach? Should we have done something different? And it makes you, you know, double think it. So that's probably a little bit of why the answers he gave as well, because he feels like potentially he made the wrong call on letting these guys know so early and then not, like, so I'm not looking too deep into it, but it's certainly going to factor into how he approaches this week. For sure. I think there's going to be a different conversation in these meetings, in the team meetings, in the offensive meetings. There's going to be different conversations about what the expectations are on Thursday and then what could potentially happen if Thursday doesn't go the way, you know, the coaching staff and himself want it to go. Because, like, ready or not, week one's coming, right? Like, there's no, like, hey, we need an extra week, like, you know, like, It's going to be here, and you got to be ready to play. And in the back of his mind, he understands it, because this first week for them of the regular season is going to be messed up too. They're traveling internationally. Their practice week is going to be condensed, and all, like, there's a lot of things that get thrown off when you travel in these international games, especially when the game's on a Friday, right? You don't get your full week of prep, and you're traveling, and there's a lot that goes into it. So he's feeling like, man, we really got to start getting this thing together and gelling. And however we need to get that done, we need to figure that out in these next few days before Baltimore gets into town. Because after Baltimore leaves, like, it's just you and your practice squad, and that's it. And that's how you got to get ready for week one. So it's I'm not saying, like, I'm panicked by any stretch of the imagination. Like, I'm not concerned about the team and the guys and the performance. Like, I'm like, do I think the joint practices are important? Yes. And so does he, because it gives you a real-time gauge of where your team is at against other ones. And you get to see that they probably ran 50 plays or so, whatever it may be. So in a game-type script, you get to see it. Not full game-type script. Like, obviously, there's more control over this situation. But it gives you an idea. So when that doesn't go the way you want it, yeah, you start to get a little antsy with it. And to me, I'm not a coach, so I'm not feeling a certain way. I still believe in the guys that are there. Like, I feel really good about the team, actually, whether the joint practice went well or not. But it gives you a little, you know, peek behind the curtain of what's happening and where they're at right now as a group. And it kind of speaks to where you had been talking about earlier on in camp, where the defense had been getting the better of the offense throughout the entire training camp. And that was ones versus ones, right? We see our offense take the field against the Browns too. Sure, yeah. They go right down the field in three plays. That's great. But now we get to a joint practice against another team's ones, and it struggles a little bit. So it's letting us know a little bit what's going on offense. Now, defense, I didn't read enough about or see enough reporting about what happened with our defense against the Broncos.
I think Bo Nix got him a few times based on what I was reading from the Athletics Broncos writer. And here's the thing. All right, there's a couple of moving pieces here. All right, first of all, what in the name of Gerhard DeBeer, who started at right tackle in 2019 in Brian Bulaga's place against the Houston Texans, was he thinking by telling them ahead of time that, hey, just give me your best effort in the joint practice and you guys aren't playing. I've already made up my mind. If he had a do-over, he would have said, hey, I haven't made up my mind yet. We're going to prepare like you guys are going to play. We'll see how things play out. We'll see how the joint practice goes. Because you know that there's part of him that's pissed that he didn't have that club in his bag. Because after things did not go well on Friday, you know down deep inside he's like, well, damn it, I should be playing these guys now in the game. Right? So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
But when you tell them all week that they're not playing and you're giving extra reps to the backups so they're ready to play in the game, you can't now change your mind. So you've made your bed, you got to sleep in it. It ends up being 27-2 and you blanked the bed, so to speak. Secondly, I think he's probably worried because when the joint practice goes the way it did, and look, I'm not crucifying him here. Like, I don't think that these are catastrophic mistakes and suddenly now they're not going to be a playoff team and anything like that. Like Brian said, this is nothing to panic about. It's just understanding his mentality here, right? But I think he was looking at the way his practices with his team were going, Brian, and saying, okay, hey, I know our offense is having a hard time, but that's a good sign that our defense is really humming. You know, we're going to be okay. We had that three-play drive against the backups for the Cleveland Browns on defense, I might add. Myles Garrett wasn't out there. A bunch of their starters weren't out there for those three plays. But I don't think he was overly worried about his offense. Then he gets to the joint practice, and the Broncos defense outplay the Packers offense. Okay, so now he's thinking, oh, maybe it's not just our defense that's causing our offense to struggle. And then on the other side of the field, he watches, I don't know how he split his time in Denver, but then he sees Bo Nix have a pretty good day against his defense. And now he's really starting to think, God dang it. And now I told these guys they can't play. So again, if he had to do it over, I think he holds that possibility open, so when the joint practice goes poorly, then those guys have to play. And if you want my honest opinion, I think based on his answers last night, that's what he's doing for this week. He's thinking, all right, we may play him, we may not. Let's see how Thursday goes with the Ravens, and then I'll decide whether to play him. But I'm going to make them think they're playing all week long. Now, whether or not, Brian, that's the right decision, again, nothing against Gerhard DeBeer, but if I'm in my last preseason game and I want Gerhard DeBeer at my right tackle, I don't want Brian Bulaga getting hurt and then he's not ready for Brazil. So they are in a little bit of a pickle, but I think it's important to emphasize his whole argument for playing starters at all in preseason was that when he didn't do it, including you, early on in his career, he felt like they weren't ready to play. And then you get waxed by the Saints in Jacksonville 2 years ago. You get beat by the Vikings, or 3 years ago. You get beat by the Vikings 2 years ago. And then you play as well as you did in Chicago last year. I can understand why he's thinking, hey, we play our guys. We play better in the opener. But then you better play them this week if that's what you really believe. Am I wrong to think that?
Yeah. No, you're not. You're not wrong to think that. I just have a hard time. And this isn't me saying if I were Matt LaFleur, I have a hard time playing guys in the last preseason game. Period.
I agree.
Because now we're so close to the beginning of, you know, what is the most important. That's week one in Brazil. And if you get say a guy just tweaks something, right? A tweak, he's missing week one, most likely. So like, you don't even want to risk that. But I still think, like you said, the mentality going into this week is, I don't know, I'm not making a decision if you guys are playing or not until what we see how this week of practice goes, mm-hmm. and how Thursday goes, and we'll decide from there. But at this point in time, everyone needs to prepare like they're going this week. And that would be the way I would approach it, mm-hmm. to keep everyone on their toes, to understand the sense of urgency in the building. Because he said it, we need a sense of urgency.
Yep.
That's how you create it, by keeping guys on their toes, knowing, hey, this week needs, you guys need to show me something, or you're going to have to show me on, you know, in Lambeau against Baltimore. So that would be the way I would approach it.
All right, Brian, you got 4 minutes of a commercial break to come up with a positive. I'm going to try to come up with one too. Great. That'll be different than yours. And then we probably won't have any left for Jesse. We'll do that next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com.
Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. Give me one reason to steer, and I'll turn right back around. And I don't want to leave you lonely.
Give me one positive from this game, and I'll turn right back around. It's not what we had in mind. The one thing I'm shocked by, and then we'll get to our positives, is that when it went backups versus backups, and this is probably another reason why he's kind of pissed off, things did not improve. Right? Like, you're expecting, okay, we're on a level playing field. You guys beat the Houston Texans 28-26 in that game that you guys didn't play in. And I don't think the Texans played their guys either. And so backups versus backups, you were pretty evenly matched. Not so much last night. All right, Brian Bulaga, Cousins Sub of the Day. Cousins Subs, we believe in better. Your biggest positive from the Packers 27-2 defeat in Denver was?
Yes, positive is that we didn't have any like injuries that are like big notable injuries. I think that's in the preseason, no matter if it's starters or backups, like injuries is the thing that I'm always concerned about, because not only could you potentially lose your number two at a position that you may be thin at, but I also look at it from the human side of this, and it can affect a guy to even latch onto a team after the Packers. So I'm always concerned about injuries. The second thing that kind of stood out, and I watched it again just to during the break to kind of, I buzzed through the first few drives real quick, was I saw some decent things from the interior part of the line. Now, I think Newman struggled a little bit. I think Monk struggled a little bit. But I thought Sean Ryan at center played okay. Like, that to me was something that I watched, because again, I'm still very confused on why he's not getting, like, I'm not confused anymore. Like, I'm not, but like it still kind of makes me question if he's going to be the guy that rotates the interior three center guard, why he's not taking any snaps at either guard position and just the center position, and Monk is taking all the snaps at guard. So like, that part kind of confuses me a bit still, but I think from looking at him play center, he is solidified himself as the guy that we'll be able to rotate in at all three spots. And I feel good about that because I know from watching him last year and watching him in these first few preseason games, he's a guy that you can put in there and he can start a game. He can finish a game. He can spot guys if something, if a chin strap gets broken, he can go in there and the level of play will stay the same. So to me, those are my two positives. Because, I mean, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I always try to find the good things, and there just weren't many. And that's just, and like, I'm not trying to like beat a dead horse here and really, you know, rain on these guys' parade, but there just wasn't much to be positive about. And that's why Matt LaFleur acted the way he did at the end of the game as well. Like, it's not like I'm saying, or I watched something completely differently than what he watched and what the staff watched last night. Like, we watched the same thing. And I understand the standard that's there. I understand how, even if it's twos versus ones, how he wants it to look, right? It does. It's not saying that you're going to beat Denver's ones with your twos, but there is a certain way you want this thing to look, and it didn't look that way. So those are my positives. I'm sorry that they're not overwhelmingly great, but that's just what it is.
You can't make chicken salad out of chicken you know what. All right. Well, mine is a simple one. And then I want to get to calls coming up, because in the 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock hours, I want to get deeper into the offensive line conversation that you kind of teased there. They're clearly trying to get Sean Ryan into good condition by playing him more, right? I mean, he played about half the snaps last night. He was done at halftime, but they played him more than they played Andre Dillard, right? So they want to make him play more. So that the line stuff, I want to get into that. And I also, I think in the 10 o'clock hour, the first place I want to go is backup quarterback, because I do think that that is another conversation. I asked Tom Clements last week this. I think Sean Clifford has a lot of Matt Flynn to him, except here's the problem. Matt Flynn would have played better last night. And Sean Clifford, no matter how much I like him, you know, I think if he hits on one of those first two deep balls down the sideline, I think maybe he feels a little bit different. He gets a little mojo going, and he never did, right?
Especially the first one, right?
Right.
Like, the first one. That's a complete ball. That's a touchdown, most likely, and got a different story, right? Momentum gets going. So, like, it's a different story. But, okay. Sorry I interrupted.
No, that's all
just,
right.
I mean, it's just all the momentum swings in a game, right? Like, those are the things you look for. And, like, something like that happens, this may be a different conversation today. Like, it's...
you're right.
It's football.
And by the way, I do the show with Tausch when he's on. I'm pretty used to getting interrupted, so no need to apologize, Brian. Here's my positive. And my positive is a simple one. It's Tyron Hopper, right? You haven't seen Edgerrin Cooper. He's had this hip injury now. He's missed both preseason games. He was the second-round pick. I am an Eric Wilson fan, because he is everything that to me is good about NFL players who aren't first-round picks, who aren't gifted. I mean, he came into the league as an undrafted guy, and he has carved out an 8-9-year career here. And right now he's held off the young guys to be the third starter, along with Quay Walker and Isaiah McDuffie at linebacker. And Isaiah McDuffie and Quay Walker got the night off. Eric Wilson did not. So then, tells you where he's at, right? But Tyron Hopper plays almost the entire game, leads them in 11 tackles, popped two different running backs in the hole pretty hard to get small gains or no gains on running plays. He may be the guy, because of the time that Cooper has missed. You wanted one of those draft picks to stand out a little bit. I thought Hopper did last night. And he did not play in Cleveland either, because he had an ankle injury. So that, I thought, was a positive on an otherwise positive-free night. So, all right, those are our positives. I think we've articulated somewhat effectively our negatives, but we'll have more, because that'll be a lot of the narrative today. I do want to ask this, along with your positives and negatives, 844-770-3776. Do you just brush this under the rug as a fan? Do you just say, nah, hey, we didn't play our starters, it's not that big of a deal? I would hope you do, I would hope you do. But judging from some of the social media responses, you know, oh, the Bears looked really good. Okay. That's great. I watched that game, too, mm-hmm. while I was doing some work around the house. Caleb Williams had a Aaron Rodgers-like throw. It was great. But let's not start worrying to the point that the Packers are in trouble and the Bears were looking good in a preseason game. All right. We'll get to your calls next. 844-770-3776. Brian Bulaga is our cousin's sub of the day. Positives and negatives from a 27-2 loss. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake.
We'll get to your calls here right now. Not only positive, negative, but how do you process this? Are you just flushing this as a fan? I would think that would be the wise way to go. Clearly, Matt LaFleur is not, but he's not a fan. It's his job to get these guys ready for Brazil and for the Philadelphia Eagles. Let's go to the phones. Let's start with Jeff in Milwaukee. Jeff, thanks for holding on. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We are better than the Packers were last night.
A couple things, then I just wanted to offer a comment, if I could. So the positive is, to me, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but my positive is, what's Monk's first name? The
Jacob.
Guard?
Jacob Monk.
Did you see the hustle when Clifford threw the interception? He is the guy that tackled the defensive back on the 10-yard line. Mm-hmm. He came from the offensive line position. I was completely impressed with the effort that that guy put through on that play. I think that was a real positive and says a lot about him. I think he's going to be a very, very good player. But he ran down and tackled the defensive back. Incredible effort on his part. So that was my positive. The negative is, you know, Matt LaFleur can get as upset as he wants at the players. You guys, this is completely on him. You know, it's the job of any leader to set the tone, and he didn't. And he can be mad at them, but he needs to be mad at himself more than anybody else. I just think he blew it in this case in terms of setting the tone for the team. And like I think Brian said, you know what? I know they're all professionals and everything like that, but you got to keep these guys on edge. It's just what you need to do. And he didn't do it, and so that was the negative. So that was that. Jason, I do want to offer a compliment to you, and that is around the Ian O'Connor interview. As you know, I've listened to the show at times. I think you can really be a Rodgers apologist. I think you did an amazing job on that interview. I think it was fabulous, and you did a really, really great job. I just wanted you to know that.
That didn't sound like a compliment at the beginning there, but yes, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, look, don't you want your listeners to be honest, right? I mean,
I do.
Sometimes.
I do. No, I definitely do. Thanks for the call, Jeff. We appreciate it, and thanks for the compliment. Look, I think Jeff's point about the negative with LaFleur is what we were discussing, right? I mean, I think... And look, my first year as our primary beat writer for the State Journal was 1999, and that was Ray Rhodes' first year. And Ray Rhodes was a good football coach, okay? It did not go well that year. They went 8-8. They missed the playoffs. But he was the kind of coach that believed in being a player's coach, trusting guys to do the right thing, giving them respect. And while that worked for him in Philly when they had some success there before he lost his job with the Eagles, it didn't work with the 99 team. They had a bunch of knuckleheads on the team. They took advantage of that. Okay? And so mm-hmm. I'm not saying that this group is a bunch of knuckleheads. What I'm saying is this group is young. And you can't treat them like Brian Bulaga in year 11. You can't do that. They're not ready for that yet. And so If there is a critique to be made about his approach, it's what Brian made the point of at the very beginning of the show, and you were right on point with it. You had to keep him on edge. You had to make him think, hey, maybe you're going to play, maybe you're not. Because maybe then they don't suck or whatever they did. I wasn't there. So, but just judging off of Matt LaFleur's reaction, they were not good enough in the joint practice. And he has to be asking himself, had I let them think they were also going to play in the game, would they have busted their asses more in the joint practice? Would I have had that carrot to say, hey, you guys, if we're really good in the joint practice, you guys are, maybe we won't have you guys play. But you guys have to bring it in the joint practice. Maybe that would have worked with the young team. I don't know. But the bottom line is they didn't get it in the practice. They didn't get it in the game. And now he's ticked off. And we'll see how he handles this week. All right. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. We'll get to your positives and negatives both over the phone and via the text messages to kick off the 10 o'clock hour. And that will happen in 2 minutes. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.